If you do have your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching and teaching from the passage that Paul read just a few moments ago from John chapter 9, that iconic verse of Scripture where the man declares, hey, I don't know exactly who Jesus is, I don't know everything about him, but this much I do understand and this much I do know. I once was lost, now I'm found, I was blind, and now I see. And so we're going to be sharing around that passage of Scripture, but we're going to be taking it in a little different direction. I've been teaching and preaching the idea of come to life, the idea of living in technicolor, not just simply in a black and white world. And so as we go on to our first slide, we're going to talk a little bit about something that we've talked about each and every week that we've shared from this particular teaching series. The passage of Scripture that I've shared with you guys as a one to remember is that passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that basically says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. But I've also shared that passage of Scripture in conjunction with this, don't miss this, and that is, in Christ, abundant life is available, but abundant life is not automatic. You know as well as I do, if you followed Christ for a little while, you understand that sometimes you're following very close, and that feels very abundant. You feel like God's fingerprints and his footprints are showing up everywhere in your life. But then there are times that you're living at a distance from God, that you've moved, and he's trying to call you back, but you're still not quite where you need to be. And so you feel like things are kind of drab and dull, and you're not seeing the supernatural affecting the natural in the same way. And so I again share with you, abundant life that Christ desires for us to have is not automatic, and we need to just choose that each and every day to grow closer to the Lord as often as possible and to experience that abundant life that is available to us anytime we want. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever heard or seen the term rose-colored glasses. Have y'all heard that before? The idea and the concept is captured pretty well here. And the idea here is that certain glasses kind of help you to see things. And if you look real close at this, it's a little blurry, but you can see it's almost like the background, you can see things in flames, but in your mind, things are going great, you know? And that can be switched as well. And things are going great, and in your mind, they're in flames, you know? And so ultimately, it is about what we see and what we begin to focus upon. And the more and more that we include and ask and invite the Lord to be a part of our daily lives, he begins to change us, and we begin to live in that technicolor rather than just simply that black and white world. Now, let's talk about this next slide. And I don't know if you heard this passage or were paying close attention, but the Jews didn't believe that man had been born blind. They were trying to say, no, this is not actually a miracle. What we've seen here is one guy who looks a little bit like another guy, but clearly, since the other guy's blind and this guy now sees, it's not the same guy. But the problem especially goes all the way back to the root of Jesus doing this healing and miraculous thing there on the Sabbath day. There's one thing that the Jewish Pharisees and the leaders from the Jews were so concerned about. It was making sure that you did not break the Sabbath. We're going to hear about that as we go a little further in this passage. So if you heard that from what he was sharing, go ahead and go back if you don't mind, and we'll talk about it. The Jews didn't believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How now then does he see?" And his parents were like, "Hey, we know this is our son. We know he was born blind. We were there. Now he sees. We don't understand how that happened," all right? So that's the New Texas Version. Let's go to our next slide, also in the New Texas Version. They're like, "Hey, you ask him. We're not saying a word," because they had already heard that anybody who claimed that Jesus was the Messiah or the Christ, that they were going to put them out of the synagogue. And back then, if you were a Jew and you weren't a part of the synagogue and you weren't a person who was able to worship in that way, then you had no chance and no shot at making it into heaven. Now, I've always been very difficult. It's always been very difficult for me to deal with any church who wants to sit there and claim that we're the only ones who have the truth. And if you're not a part of this church, then you can't make it into heaven. And so I want to be very clear and very careful that we don't go down that road. That ultimately we know that there are people outside the walls of this church that are going to be in heaven with us. There are brothers and sisters in Christ, not just people all the way around the world, but just around the corner as well. They worship at a different church, but they are people who believe in the same Lord, worship Him, and they will be in heaven with us. And so just to be very clear, we don't want people to say, well, the only way to make it into heaven is if somebody does exactly what I say they should do all the time. Because that's what the Jews were doing. Jesus wasn't for that. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. We don't want to be thrown out. We don't want to be people who can't make it into heaven because of what we say we believe about this man, Jesus Christ from Nazareth. So let's keep moving as we go on here. And this is our something to learn. The Pharisees were convinced that since Jesus had worked on the Sabbath, and his work on the Sabbath was A, he healed the man, but also he had made mud. Basically, the Bible says that he spit on the ground and made mud, and then he wiped it on his eyes, and he said, go wash that mud off, and when you do, you will see. That's exactly what he did, but that idea of telling him to go was work. And that idea of making mud and then putting it on his eyes was work. They were looking for any reason to say, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. Because this is the Sabbath. Make sure that you're not doing anything except for worshiping. And so it's very important. But Jesus was not ready to give them that whole day and people to miss the point. Because the point was not that they refused to work. The point was not simply that they refused to do good things. But ultimately, the point was, whatever you're doing, you're supposed to take the time to slow down, to hear from God, to worship God, to reorder your life in such a way that God has a huge part to play. And that was the whole point of that Sabbath day that God had said to keep holy. And Jesus constantly was saying, it's not wrong to do good on the Sabbath, nor to do works that benefit others. And Jesus wasn't there doing work to put money in his pocket. He was there to heal people, and they had the problem with that. All right, let's keep moving here to our next slide. And I want to share this with you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And some of the Pharisees near him, they're near Jesus, they said, are we also blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. In other words, if you would acknowledge that you need a Savior and that you cannot save yourself, then you would be just fine because I'm here to do that very thing. But ultimately, they were constantly acting like they had it all figured out, that they were the ones who should be proud of what they do. And in the process of it all, pride distances us from God, right? Amen? So ultimately, the more proud we are of ourselves, the less we seek the God who actually can save us, can help us, and can work in our situations. And so this is very important, and I want to just take a moment to slow down right here. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Now, you may or may not have ever thought of this, but this is where I want to kind of take this passage of scripture that so far has kind of been right down the line. I'm going to take this and shift it a little bit into a different vein that you may or may not kind of grasp at first, but please hang with me. There are some translations that have translated this passage of scripture, and they said, for this purpose I have come into this world, so that those who are blind may see, and those who see might become blind. In other words, Jesus knew very clearly his purpose. He also knew very clearly that his purpose would put him at odds from people who would not accept him. You guys understand what I'm saying? He knew very clearly, there are some people who are literally going to fall down and worship me, like the blind man did. The blind man who had just been saved from that life of blindness fell down and worshiped him and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, basically. But then there were those Pharisees who were so angry that he had broken the Sabbath that they said, I will never say that you are even a good man. I'm going to declare you a sinner because you have broken the Sabbath, the rule that I hold sacred. You guys with me? For so many of us, we do not understand our purpose in our world. And so if we can never find that, we never understand why some people don't love us, like us, or some people set themselves up as people that do not in any way want to support or be a part of our lives. They distance themselves. There's animosity there. Because oftentimes, you and I as Christians are not going to be people who are always the most popular people, because we may have unpopular opinions. We may have thoughts that do not fall in line with this world, doing everything that you can see and touch and hear and taste, and only those things that are seen and discerned by the senses. So if Jesus says, listen, I'm here for this purpose, and in because of this, I know that there are people that will be against me, but I am okay with that because I know what my purpose is, and my purpose is to please God above all things. Now, let me share with you. If you do not grasp that your purpose involves pleasing God above pleasing men, then you have about 7.2 billion masters that you have to answer to. You guys understand what I'm saying? Because there will be people who love you, and there will be people who hate you. That's just the way that it is. But if you only need to please God, then no one can shake you, because you have an acceptance from the only voice that matters. If you guys understand, give me an amen. Amen. Now, there are people that are desperate for other people to come and give them approval, to tell them that they're doing the right things and they're doing everything the right way. And sometimes that is true, sometimes that is not true. But I'm just here to tell you that if you are a person who has not found a way to let that stuff be outside of your boat is imminently sinkable, because this world is not a safe place for you and for me who do not belong to this world. We belong to another world. And if we belong to another world, we will find ourselves at odds with the people in this one. And so that may mean that you are not Mr. or Mrs. Popular all the time, but you also escape the rat race of trying to please people who will change their opinions about you for the dumbest, and sometimes not even a reason at all. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm talking about? And so if you have not experienced that, I want you to know that you were called and designed and created by God for a purpose, and other people will not get that. But if you will say, I'm just going to focus on what he says, and all the others don't matter, then things begin to change, and you begin to live a life built on purpose. And Jesus was the most purposeful individual who ever lived life and ever walked the earth. And so as we go to our next slide, let's talk about this for a very quick moment. We talked about the boat last week, about how no matter all the craziness that's going on outside the boat continues to thrive and survive and does not sink, because the things that would sink the boat have not ever made their way in. And so if you can prevent that from happening, you can still thrive no matter who you are, as long as the Lord is with you. Let's keep moving to our next slide, and I want to share this. So for the second time, they called the man who'd been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, what? Now I see. He changed everything for me. That's what I know. So let's keep moving as we go past John chapter 9. Let's talk about who we've talked about so far in our Come to Life teaching series. We've talked about John the Baptist, who is the forerunner. We've talked about Matthew, who is the tax collector. We've talked about Peter, the rock that the church would later be built upon, who began as a pebble. By the way, Simon means pebble, and Peter means rock. We'll talk more about that in a minute. We talked about Andrew, the networker. That's Peter's brother, who brought him to Jesus in the very first time. And then John, the beloved disciple, likely the youngest, who was kind and yet strong. He took in Jesus' mother, Mary, after Jesus' death. Each one of them a different kind of person. Now, let's take just a quick moment, and here's where I want to take this passage of Scripture and the ideas behind it in maybe a different direction. Let's go to this next slide. Do any of you guys know what this is? I mean, have y'all ever seen this before? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all have. Okay, some of you guys have done human resources, you've done testing and all that stuff. These are the 16 personality types. Now, I think I can never remember the 4 personality types, much less the 16 personality types, okay? And can you imagine having the conversation? Wait, did you say you were ISFJ or ISTJ? I mean, I'm a little confused. I can't remember. Here's what I want to share with you. You don't have to get all 16, okay? Some of y'all are taking pictures. That's cool. I'm good with it. But here's what I would share with you as we go to this next slide. There are the 4 personality types and then kind of ripple out from there. Type A, the director. Type B, the socializer. Type C, the thinker. Type D, the supporter. And as we look at all these different personality types, which one is the best one? I'm just asking, which one is the best one? Yeah, that's right. There is no best one. That was a trick question. You guys are on it, okay? Why is there not a best one? Because every one of us has been built and designed differently than the person that we are, you know or whoever it might be. As we go on to our next slide, those 5 people that we mentioned, John the Baptist was type A. He was the guy who went out there, stirred it up, and built a group and built a following, and then he pointed them to Jesus. Then Peter was the man who would be the rock on which the church was built. Andrew was the socializer who brought Peter and said, come, meet this man, this Messiah. I want you to know him. He's an amazing guy. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. And then there have Matthew, the thinker, who is the tax collector. So he was a guy who was good with numbers. And then we have John, who is the supporter. And by the way, you don't ask John the Baptist to take care of your mama from the cross. Can I get an amen? I mean, you understand there's a nurturing and then there's a non-nurturing, right? And so ultimately, Jesus knew who he was dealing with. He was like, if I want my mother to be taken care of, who's the one I want? Not John the Baptist, but just John, the beloved disciple, right? So each one is very different. And as I talk about all of these things, I know some of this seems a little disjointed. Hopefully it begins to hone in right now. Let's go to our next slide as we do. This is our big idea. We all must understand that we are created on purpose and for a purpose. On purpose and for a purpose. Now, stop for just a moment. If you are ever going to come to life, you've got to let yourself be who God created you to be, and then you've got to roll up your sleeves and get busy doing what God has created you to do. Otherwise, you will flounder all of your life. I know that this is a long way around, and finally the roundabout ends. Here's what I'm trying to convey to you. Let's go to our next slide. There's 3 things that I want to talk about. We must understand that we were created for a purpose and on purpose, okay? And we'll talk about each one of those. And why is this important? Because so many people in our world are busy looking for acceptance. And so they will change literally who they are, how they're built, and how they're designed, forgetting what God has made them to be and created them to be. They will turn their back on that. So I know I'm an introvert. I want to be an extrovert because all of the extroverts are the ones who are the most popular. I mean, you guys probably went through this and dealt with this when you were a teenager. You wanted to be somebody different. You wanted to look different. You wanted to act different. You wanted to be different than you were. And yet every time you tried to do those things, it felt like you were holding a weight that you could only hold up for so long. Now, let's just talk about just the teenagers. I mean, the teenagers are all gone, but I'm talking about you and me when we were teenagers. Some of y'all have a little further to look back than others, all right? I'm one of those. Have a little further to look back. But do you remember you wanted to be somebody that you were not? Instead of embracing who God had created you to be. Do you guys understand? Can I get an amen if y'all ever went through that kind of phase? Amen? Now, I'm not going to ask if y'all are still going through that phase, okay? But I am going to say it's possible that you're still going through that phase because we are constantly looking outward for our acceptance. And if we're not careful, all of the clamor and all of the clatter that's going on in our world prevents us from hearing the voice of God that says, I made you just like I made you. And I made you for a purpose, and I made you on purpose. And I don't want you to be somebody else. I want you to be the best version of you that you can possibly be. So don't try to reinvent yourself. Just make yourself who you can be in my image. And if you can hear that voice, and if you can let that voice be turned up so loud on the volume that all the other stuff falls apart and falls away, you can find peace, you can find fulfillment, and you can find purpose where there is so little of that in our world. And so I encourage you, you were created, number one, on purpose and for a purpose. And so we're going to talk about those three things today and how these three things are absolutely pivotal in you experiencing that abundant life, coming to life as we've been talking about. So would you guys say out loud with me on the count of three this big idea? Ready? One, two, three. We all must understand that we were created on purpose for a purpose. All right, let's keep moving. Let's talk about this for just a minute. How does this play out IRL? How many of y'all know what IRL means? Any of y'all in real life? Yes, okay, very good. All right, so here's how we break this down. You will be happy, but you need to be happy but not complacent. In other words, when I talk about, well, you were created the way that you're created, you may be like, cool, because I don't like to do that, and I'm not going to do that. And when I get mad, I act like that. And when I, you know, you just go on and on and tell all these things that come natural to you. But that's not what God wants for you and for me. I promise the things that come natural to me are not the things that you want to see in a preacher. Okay? I'm just saying, all right? They're not. All you got to do is ride with me in Houston, Texas for a little bit of time during rush hour, and you'll realize this man ain't got all of his sanctification taken care of just quite yet. Is it just me? Okay, y'all pray for me. I'm the only one. I get it. All right, so here's what I mean. I can't be complacent and act like I got everything down, and I can't blame God for the things that I don't do and I don't give over to him. Because sometimes when I say, God created you in this way, take rest in that, that does not mean that whatever you think comes natural to you is okay because that's how God made you. That's not right. That's not right. But also, let's talk about how this plays out in real life when you're dealing with your significant other. And y'all may mention, I just mentioned, my wife is not here today. I do have a significant other. I do have her permission to talk about these things, but I want to share something with you. I shared with you guys last week how long we've been married. We've been married for a really, really long time, and it's really an amazing thing to be married to the same person for that long. I'm not sure that I've got the most years together with the same woman over everybody. I don't think I have, but I'm up there near the top three or four, I think. Been married over 33 years now. We're working towards 34 in December. Now, having said that, we have a very different relationship at 33 and a half years than we had at 25 and a half years and 22 and a half years. And somewhere along the line, she had to stop trying to make me another her. And I had to stop trying to make her another me. And there were so many problems in our marriage that almost cost us our marriage because I wanted her to be me, not be her. Now, I know it got deep there here for a minute and real quick, but I think it's really important to talk about this because I want you to understand. I've had people tell me, well, you just pretend everything's great in your marriage. I do not. I don't know what you're listening to and what you're not hearing. I've tried real hard to be real clear that my wife and I are two totally different people. If you've ever talked to Shelly, you already know that. Can I get an amen, right? You know she's different than me. You have a hard time getting her to talk. You have a hard time getting me to shut up, right? Very, very different people. Very different. I'm great with being in the middle and talking to everybody and sharing blah, 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 blah. She's better behind the scenes. She feels more comfortable there. She does not enjoy being a person who's up front. And the type of thing that I always joke about, oh, Shelly, I hope we're still friends. Can you come up here for a minute? She's cool with it. She can do that. But that's not where she feels comfortable. You guys understand? Now, you may be saying, Randy, why are we talking about your marriage? Here's why we're talking about my marriage, because most of you have one too. And if you do, you are probably looking for that person that you are married to be like you, to react like you, to communicate like you, to think like you. And that probably will never happen. Sorry to be the one to break it to you. But have you guys ever noticed, have y'all ever held batteries? And you have the positive and the positive, and you try to put them together, and right when you get there, it's like, woo, you know, kind of does that thing to you. Because opposites attract and alike repels. And the more that I live, the more I realize that the very things that I love most and find most attractive about my wife are the things that infuriate me about my wife later when we're frustrated. Oh, I got a big amen there. All right, now, I got a big amen from somebody else who's single today. I'm just saying, not single, but single today. We're just trying to be as honest as possible because I love that my wife is so put together, so thoughtful, so methodical in the things that she does, just always seem to do the right thing, right? But then later when I want her to make a fast decision, that ain't gonna happen. That's probably gonna be a frustration and a fight. Why am I saying all of this stuff? Can I just say, I'm trying to be as honest as I possibly can. I'm not trying to do a comedy routine. I'm telling you that there were times in our marriage that the very things that actually brought her onto my radar and the things that I loved about her so much are the very things that almost cost us our marriage because we were so frustrated with each other because anybody who communicates ought to communicate like me. Anybody who thinks ought to think like me. And that's not me saying that. That's me and her both saying that. And her being over there, me being over here, and both of us saying we ought to do it like me and finding no common ground in the middle. If you've been married or in a relationship for any length of time, this will drive you insane. And this is difficult because if you ever really want to have that abundant life, if you can't get some of this stuff figured out and why it doesn't feel right, it will feel like constant frustration. And you will even be tempted to be hypocritical and put on a face that isn't real. And, oh, things are great at home. And then you hear somebody separated a month after things were great. Can I get an amen? I mean, is that wrong? That's not wrong, is it? I'm just trying to be as open and honest as possible because I want you to grasp and understand that there are differences and we are created different. And I ask you that question, which one is the right personality? And you all said, there's no such thing as a right personality. That's right, until you get married to the wrong personality. Can I get an amen? And you both have types of personalities and you both have roles. Sometimes I was frustrated at her when I wanted her to be a wife and she was too busy to be a wife because she was so busy being a mama. Best mom I've ever seen. Best mom I've ever seen. Hands down, bar none. She's an amazing mother. An amazing mother. Didn't mean I always wanted her to be a mother first. Sometimes I needed her to be a wife. Sometimes she needed me to be a better dad when I was trying so hard to be a good husband. You see? And so when you've got roles and personality types, and it all gets mixed together, it sure doesn't feel like an abundant life. It feels like frustration. And if we can't slow down, stop and think and give grace to them and clearly ask for grace for ourselves, then we will constantly be fighting, constantly have friction, and never get things resolved that need desperately to change. It is so important and so vital. My goodness, I've got so much. Okay, how many of you guys have kids that grew up with the same genes, in the same household, and yet are two totally opposite kids? Can I see your hands, right? How does that even happen? I do not know, except for this is how God created things to be. I can't cover it all. I can't share it all. I've got more to say that I'm just not going to be able to get to. This is why I preach and teach in sermon series constantly, okay? So I tell you what, if we can talk about how this plays out in real life just a little further, I want to talk about this and at least get this part nailed down. And I believe you know which slide that is. How that plays out in real life, I believe, is number 30. Number 30, I believe. Yes. And there are parents and authority figures in your life that you need to give grace to because they were trying so hard to be a good parent that they were not a good friend. You have parents who were trying so hard to be a good friend that they were not a good parent. Now, I'm not saying that they should have chosen that first. I'm just saying that's how that is. When there are people that you struggle with from afar, you know them from the internet, you know them from politics, you know them from TV, you know them from movies, you know them from being a famous celebrity here in Houston or whatever it is, right? And so you know them from afar and you struggle with them because they do not think, act, or believe the way that you think, act, believe, and it makes you very angry, frustrated, whatever, right? So afar or up close, we have to give people the grace to be different, and we have to stop worrying about what they think and believe about us higher than what God has created us to be. He has created us on purpose and for a purpose. That is two sides of a coin. And I'm just, you know, just if you guys would hang in with me just a few more minutes, I'm just about done. On purpose means you are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. If you have a child that you did not plan, they are not a mistake. My wife has had an impact on hundreds and probably even thousands of lives, but her parents were never married. Kind of a one-night stand. Roll of the dice, odds against it ever happening, and yet her mother was pregnant, had the child, named her Shelley Nicole Arthur, last name after her father, Shelley Nicole Arthur, now Shelley Nicole Arthur Puckett. Never a mistake. Never a mistake. I can't even imagine what my life would look like without my wife in it. But yet, she could have thought that she was a mistake because she was unplanned. But God has always got a purpose, created her on purpose, and created her for a purpose. And whoever you are, you have been created by God, created on purpose and for a purpose. The two sides of that coin is that you can say, this is who I am, so I will not change. But since you were created for something more than what you can come up with just for yourself, just what benefits you. But here's what I would say. If you have been created by God, you don't have to apologize for being an introvert. You don't have to demand being an extrovert. Or you don't have to apologize for being an extrovert and wish that you were an introvert. You can just simply be who you are, whatever personality that is. Submit that to the Lord and become the very best that you can possibly be in that vein. And in the process of that, you have to say to yourself, if he created me and designed me in this way, then he has a purpose for it. How many of you have ever, guys especially, how many of you have ever tried to hammer in a nail with a pair of pliers? Can I see your hands? You know what I'm talking about? You're like, I don't want to get up and walk 30 feet to go get that hammer, so I'm just going to bang it with these pliers. And you bang up the wood like crazy. You probably have banged a finger that way, right? When you say, you know what, I'm just going to put this down, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to get the thing that was designed to do the thing that I want to see done. You were designed specifically for specific things. Don't try to do something that you're not designed to do, but don't neglect to do the very thing that God designed you to do in the first place. My time is up, and I'm not going to keep you over the time. I will revisit some of these themes and some of these ideas next week as we talk about moms and the way that God has built and designed and the role that you play there. But can I just try to bring this together? Here's what I would try to share with you in some of the disjointedness. I want your eyes to be open to the fact that you are not an accident, that God has created you on purpose, for a purpose. And for some of you, that probably resonates louder than with others. But here's what I know. I know that I am not designed like you and you are not designed like me. But what I cannot do is say, well, that's what it ought to be, and neglect to develop what God has made me to be and take advantage of the opportunities that he has given me to be. I'm just thinking over and over that our world is pushing us into a mold that does not glorify God and probably feels like unfitting clothes. It's too big, it's too wrong, it hangs too far, I can't even move, I can't even feel comfortable in these things that the world is trying to do or demand for me to be. But here's what I would share with you. Whoever you are, just know that you have been designed by your Creator for a purpose and on purpose. So make that thing that he has made you the very best that it can be. I want us to go, if you don't mind, to that big idea, pardon me, that don't miss this B on 31. Since you've been created very specifically by God, you don't need to apologize for who you are, but you must maximize who you are. It is so important for us to do that very thing. Now, I'm just going to stop here because I've run too far, but let me share again with you. He loves you. He has shown you grace. He has extended grace to you. Can we also extend grace to those who are not like us? And can we let them be who God created them to be? And in the midst of it, find the joy and the beauty that everything is not the same and everyone is not the same, but there is beauty in the diversity of persons and personalities. And in the process of it all, give glory to the Creator who made us to be different and made us to experience the best that we can be as we join together. Heavenly Father, let our lives be living sacrifices. You have said that we, and the way that we live, and the way that we give back to you the life that you have given to us, that is our way of being a living sacrifice. So today, Lord, may our hearts be open and may we hear from you that you have created us. Thank you. That you have created us very specifically and differently than anyone else, and that you have created us for a purpose. May your voice be the loudest and may we hear most from you above all things. May we find peace not in who we are not, but in who you have made us to be. And then may we give grace and experience grace and live in technicolor in the way that you would have us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's check out this video as we close.